The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's May the 16th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock. She's at Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. In agricultural news, the chair of the Senate Committee on Agriculture wants to channel money out of the direct payments program. And Iowa Democrat Tom Harkin says debate on the farm bill will not start up in earnest until the month of June. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with all the day's agricultural news, and then I'll do a quick highlight of the most recent edition of University of Illinois Extension's Pest Management and Crop Production Newsletter. Oh, and just after the bottom of the hour, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Like yesterday, I'm Memorex today. At this moment, I should be teaching U of I Extension professionals about RSS feeds, otherwise known as really simple syndication. You already all know about those. We talk about them nearly every day when we ask you to sign up for our podcast. By the way, you can do that at willag.org. But back to the topic at hand. I'm out of the office, so Dave Dickey will handle the live interviews with Paul Cooley and Kay Whitlock. Thanks in advance, Dave, for taking the wheel of this Wednesday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Wednesday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City. July wheat, 485 and a quarter, down 4 1/4. September, 496 and a quarter, down 4 1/2. July wheat at the Board of Trade, 496 3/4, down 5 1/4. September, 509 1/4, down 5 3/4. December, 517 1/4, down 4 3/4. July corn, 376, up 4 1/2. September, 377 1/2, up 1. December, 377 1/2, down 1. December 2008, 395 3/4, up 1. July beans, 792 3/4, up 14 3/4. August, 799 1/2, up 15 1/4. September, 807, up 15 1/2. November, 821 1/4, up 14 1/4. July soybean meal, $213.20, up $5. July soybean oil, $34.73, up 13. At the Merck May feeders, $109.32.5, down 2.5. June live cattle, $92.95, down 17.5. June lean hogs, $75.60, up 105. Joining us now on the phone for a look at the futures market is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, Dave.
As I was watching the market today, it appeared to me that this rally in the soybeans actually started in the complex, maybe in the meal?
Yeah, a couple things that jump out at us in big time, of course, is it's been popular to be bearish, and the Brazilian currency has turned very strong, and we're even seeing commodity fund players chase that commodity. And the logic goes like this, that a higher priced real makes U.S. beans cheaper, makes U.S. soybean meal cheaper, and U.S. soybean oil cheaper. And at the same time, it also makes the inputs of raising more beans to a greater extent to a Brazilian farmer at a disadvantage. They've had an advantage over the U.S. farmer for a long time. It's our turn to see a major shift with the currency game. The Chinese have bought some U.S. beans, and the basis levels are improving at the Gulf. And, of course, the disappointment of an overnight rainfall in some of the growing areas, for example, Illinois and Indiana and in the southeast. Our weather models are over-forecasting rain, over-forecasting amounts of rain on the extended maps, and when they show up at rain time, it's disappointment. And at the same time, 90-degree temperatures are being forecasted by some of the popular meteorologists in Chicago more often this coming summer. So it was a combination today that beans won the race, and there's other factors in the bean complex that help support that cause.
Meanwhile, you look at this from a technical standpoint, Paul, and draw a line off of the March contract highs through the April highs today. We invaded that downtrend line, finished strong, actually got all the way to up to 825 today. What does that all imply?
Well, it's good news. The trend is higher, and we are getting some questions from a farmer. Should we sell $8 new crop beans out of the field? What should we do? And, you know, all the ingredients add up with the trend higher, and also a touch of weather, small acreage. Informa group are coming out tomorrow, and, of course, everybody's adding putting two and two together, maybe a few more acres of corn and a few less acres in soybeans. So there are a lot of imaginative people out there that are yelling that for higher prices from a technical point of view.
Well, do you like the idea of selling $8 beans out of the field on beans you can't store, maybe up to 25 or 30% of them?
It's been popular to forward sell, but I'm going to just reserve my right on that decision, and the reason is that I think that this worldwide trend of reducing bean acres is very evident, and I don't see any way or reason to change that philosophy. And with these other factors, things are just very strong in that complex, and it's hard to get them bought cheap.
Turn your attention to the corn. We got above the 20-day moving averages today.
You know, the thing that I worry about is activating these insecticides, and also we are getting reports when I call our friends in the Dakotas that maybe 800,000 acres in the Dakotas won't get planted. Maybe the Sparks people will pick up on that. And, of course, we know there's a lot of corn planted here in Illinois. Our general impression is that we did see some spread trading, in other words, getting out of short nearby, maybe long deferred corn. Maybe those were intercommodity wheat corn spreading going on. But the main factor here is that corn has a different tone, and the tone is that it's hard to buy any rainfall east of the Mississippi. Seems like it's easier to buy a rainfall event west of the Mississippi, but traders are very reluctant to do much selling here in corn, and the market is defying a lot of people that are extremely bearish corn and acting very strong.
Looks like if you look at the weather picture and then look at the maps for the subsoil moisture, here in the eastern Corn Belt, we could be quite a bit drier in a week or so.
Yeah, it's a factor. And also this weather issue, if the bug killer insecticide doesn't work when we really need it to prevent rootworm problems, corn yields can suffer even more down the line. The one thing that's interesting here, of course, is the commodities in Chicago acted pretty well. We had gold down, we had silver down, crude oil down, and we had the dollar a little stronger. But the main factor here is that the energy deal is still an important part of the overall financial equation. And the administration and Washington, the first thing they want to do with high energy prices is encourage ethanol and ethanol demand and ethanol usage. And as a result of that, the USDA is basically saying we're going to use 200 million more bushels of corn next year in the corn equation, and that is one of the biggest carrot on the stick, so to speak, for maintaining not only big production this year, but big production next year, just because of this tremendous demand that we're seeing with the ethanol construction in the U.S.
Thank you, Paul.
Have a profitable day, Dave.
You too. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on WILL AM 580. My thanks to Dave Dickey for filling in while I'm out of the office this afternoon with the U of I Extension professionals here on campus. Here's the weather forecast for the two-state region from our own Ed Kieser. He says tonight in the north and central sections of the two states, mostly cloudy. Some scattered showers remaining in the south, increasing cloudiness, a chance of a few scattered showers after midnight. Lows will range from around 40 in northwestern Illinois to 48 in the south. Tomorrow, Ed says, in western Illinois, mostly sunny skies. In eastern Illinois, partly sunny. In Indiana, mostly cloudy, a few widely scattered showers remaining. Highs will range from 55 along the Chicago lakefront to 72 in the far southern parts of Illinois. Now, here's Dave Dickey again with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the chairman of the Senate Agriculture Committee wants direct payments channeled toward CSP expansion and energy programs. Iowa Democrat Tom Harkin also now says it's unlikely lawmakers will be writing up key elements of Farm Bill 2007 until June. And speaking of Harkin, he is now co-sponsoring legislation that would encourage U.S. producers to grow cellulosic energy crops. The Farm to Fuel Investment Act would provide 3 years of assistance to producers who grow cellulosic crops like switchgrass within 50 miles of a biorefinery that produces cellulosic ethanol. USDA Chief Agricultural Negotiator Dick Crowder is leaving government service to spend more time with his family. Crowder is being replaced by Deputy USDA Chief Economist Joe Glauber, who has served as a member of the Doha Round negotiation team. Glauber has also served on the President's Council of Economic Advisors. And the United Nations panel report on biofuels says a push to increase production is also, in some cases, pushing indigenous people off their land. The report from the UN Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues also says a problem is most likely to occur in Asia, especially in the palm oil growing regions of Indonesia and Malaysia. The policy program director for the Organic Farming Research Foundation says USDA has just 8 people overseeing its national organics program, and that's not enough to write rules or expand the program within USDA. Mark Lipson says organics should be a bigger part of Farm Bill 2007. Organic lobby groups are calling on lawmakers to increase USDA's annual budget for organics from the current level of $15 million a year to $120 million annually. Demand for organics outstrips current production. In surveys, retailers say they can sell as much as 65% more organic products if they were available. A San Diego-based scientist claims that U.S. ethanol producers could feasibly eliminate the traditional distillation process that takes water out of ethanol, saving money and energy. Fritz Dotzenberg says the step is, in his words, unnecessary. Dotzenberg says experiments show that ethanol containing 4% water and blended with gasoline are safe for car engines. He says that holds true as long as ethanol content is higher than about 10 to 12%. And the International Sugar Organization says Brazil's ethanol production in 2007-2008 will reach a record 20 billion liters. That's 2.3 billion more than this year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to sign up for that RSS feed I told you about a little bit earlier, otherwise known as our podcast. You can do that at willag.org. That's willag.org. Well, up next, you know, the cold, wet start to the planting season has had at least one good impact on the world of Illinois agriculture. We'll hear about Asian soybean aphids and a program for alfalfa producers. Determining the optimum first cutting date with Alfalfa Watch. Alfalfa producers and dealers in the northern half of Illinois can benefit now from the first Alfalfa Watch project, which monitors plant development and quality and helps time the first cutting. Alfalfa plant growth and nutrient quality indicators are reported twice weekly. The project is not being conducted in the southern third of Illinois because of cold weather damage to alfalfa there. Alfalfa Watch estimates pre-harvest quality in the field using the predictive equations of alfalfa quality, or PEAK, technique. The method, developed by the University of Wisconsin, has been used in Illinois for many years, and it is a reliable guide to determining the optimum harvest date for the first cutting. Alfalfa producers should visit the PEAK website for complete details. Just type PEAK, P-E-A-Q, into Google. One good thing about the later planting season and that early season cold weather, there's some good news as it pertains to the delayed planting season in the state this spring. Last fall, the entomologist at the University of Illinois reported impressive densities of soybean aphids in several areas of the state and predicted that could be an early warning sign for the 2007 growing season. The same cold weather that delayed the planting season may have caused the untimely death of many of the overwintering aphids in the state. Because of the delays in field work this season, soybean planting and emergence are still most likely several weeks away. This too, says University of Illinois Extension entomologist Mike Gray, may reduce survivorship of soybean aphids, though he cautions only time will tell. If you'd like to learn more about the Asian soybean aphid or about PEAK, P-E-A-Q, you can read about it online at the www.ipm.uiuc.edu/bulletin website. That's the Pest Management and Crop Development Bulletin website from the University of Illinois. The website address again is www.ipm.uiuc.edu/bulletin. For U of I Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Good afternoon, Kay.
Good afternoon to you, Dave.
Before we get to the bases, I'd love to hear your analysis about what's going on in futures. Start with the soybeans, which is on a 3.5-week tear.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. And nobody's been any more bearish on beans than me. I have to readily admit it. And I'm still really surprised at the strength in the beans, but you can't knock it. I think they're just basically looking out to next year. It looks like it may be economically unfeasible to plant beans in Brazil because of the real and their input costs and the transportation costs to the ports, and so they may be expanding corn acres. So I think they're just looking at the demand for biodiesel, and they're trading it just a lot earlier than you would normally think they would. But it's good for the farmers that are hanging on to beans out there, Dave, no doubt about that.
In a new crop, do producers like the idea of selling cash beans out of the field at $8?
Oh, absolutely. Now, we're at $8 on January. We just got back there today. So right now, they're trying to get the crop in the ground. I'm not buying hardly anything. I'm buying a few cash beans now that we've gotten back up to the prior high-end beans, which that's kind of what they look at for a benchmark. But they're just trying to get the crop in the ground, and it's been very, very quiet in this office. There's no doubt about that.
So a lot of planting going on. I would suppose that producers are pretty well along with the corn, if not finished with the corn, and maybe half or better with the beans.
A lot of the big producers are done with both. I mean, I can't believe from one week to the next what we put in the ground here. And they really made some great strides. I'd say probably corn is almost history. There may be 5% out there not planted beans. I'd say we're probably half done. And so, yeah, we've made some great strides.
How's the stands look?
Really good. I mean, we're starting to get a little dry here. Sand ground starting to get a little dry because we missed the rains yesterday. We've only had about an inch for the month, and our normal rainfall is like 4.5 inches for the month of May. But basically right now, everything looks absolutely great.
Turn your attention to futures and as it relates to corn. What are you seeing there, and what's your thoughts?
Well, you know, I had a farmer tell me today we're dancing on the blade, and I, you know, that was a really good terminology because, you know, with a $900 million carryout, it's not really critical, but yet it could get a little worse if the 90 million acres doesn't hold up. We can't get it all planted and have any weather problems. You're going to see a lot of volatility in this corn. For right now, they're playing it cautious. We seem to have reached a bottom the other day, but they're not all that anxious to buy it back. So we're just going to have to kind of bide our time because there's going to be a lot of volatility. You saw it today. We saw it trade both sides several times, so we're going to see some wild swings. They'll bear spread one day, bull spread the next.
Anything to get that moving a little bit and get that volatility going, I suppose.
That's true.
Then in the basis, it's firming up a bit?
Basis is still firming up a little bit. Not quite as much as it did last week. We firmed up like 6 or 7 cents in 1 week. It's still getting just a little bit better. Once all the planting's done and they want to start moving this stuff in the bins, we can see this basis slip again a little bit.
So what is the play that tickles producers as it relates to corn at the moment?
$4. That's what they want. They want $4 cash corn. And of course, they'd like to see January back up to $4, too. But they're snooping a little bit. They're testing out these new prices. And I've had two producers today checking on 08 new crop and January of 09. So they're starting to feel a little interest out there as well. They're just, like I say, they're just kind of checking numbers at this point.
Well, we'll check some numbers, too, and ask you what your prices today are.
Cash corn today is $3.59, beans $7.56, and wheat is $4.12.
Thank you very much, Kay.
Thank you, Dave.
Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain. She is in Terre Haute, Indiana, and she joins us every Wednesday afternoon right here on the Closing Market Report. Say, we have a listener comment line. Give us a phone call at 217-333-0853 and tell us how we're doing with our agricultural programming. That number once again is 217-333-0853. And in just about 2 minutes, Todd Gleason will be along with agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner about the agricultural weather.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. University of Illinois trustees will vote in Chicago tomorrow on a proposal to cut off investments with companies that do business with the government of Sudan. U of I Vice President Walter Knorr says it's the right thing to do, given the atrocities committed at Darfur in recent years. He says the university currently has dealings with four companies with ties to Sudan. The resolution would divest the U of I of holdings with those companies by June 30th. Urbana police have closed traffic on the Boneyard Creek Bridge on Race Street near downtown, where a press report says a woman's body was found this morning. The News Gazette reports that a passerby discovered the body in Boneyard Creek near the Silver Creek restaurant. City and state police remain at the scene, but no other information is being released at this time. Paxton, Buckley, Loda High School, and Junior High School remain under what's called a modified lockdown after a threat was discovered on the wall of a high school boys' restroom yesterday. Paxton Police Chief Robert Bain would not release details, but he says they have no suspects at this time. He says a strong police presence will continue at the schools, possibly through the rest of the school year. Students' book bags are being searched with metal detectors. One student was arrested and expelled yesterday for making threats against a teacher during the lockdown, but Bain says that student is not considered a suspect in the threat. A judge has sentenced a college student to 12 years in prison for a crash north of Lafayette, Indiana, that killed three people. The Newton County judge rejected a request that 21-year-old Dane Standish remain free and spend time speaking to youths about the dangers of drunken driving. The music school at Southern Illinois University's Carbondale campus is getting a big bonus from a former professor. The bulk of Stephen Barwick's estate of more than $1 million has been given to the SIU Foundation to benefit the music school, where Barwick had been professor emeritus of piano and music history. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner, the Senior Agricultural Meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon.
Hey, tell me about the rainfall we had across the Midwest last night. How widespread might that have been?
Well, the rain was definitely widespread. The amounts were pretty darn variable from one location to the next. I was looking at some of those county-by-county assessments this morning. Some areas got some pretty good rains. Other areas just got a little bit of a, more or less a sprinkle. There's definitely need for additional moisture out there. Our percentage of normal rainfall so far this month continues to be below average in a fairly large portion of the eastern Midwest and even a portion of eastern Iowa and extending up into parts of Minnesota and Wisconsin. Not sure that this is all that earth-shattering information at this point in time, especially with another storm system breathing down our necks for next week. I don't think we have to get terribly concerned about the drier bias at the moment, but there is, in the longer run, I know a lot of market nervousness out there today about the potential for dryness from the southeastern part of the country to move into the eastern part of the Midwest later on in the year. I think the market may be a little bit ahead of itself with that worry, but I do think that we do need to be aware of the fact that there is that potential that later in the year will turn dry across parts of the Midwest, and that's been pretty much the long-range outlook for a while, and I haven't seen anything that's really changed that here in the most recent days.
And if you could come a little closer to home and talk about the next 3 to 4 days for me, please.
All right. Well, in the next few days, we are going to be cool for the most part. Most of the precipitation of significance has already departed. We're going to be looking at a few instability showers perhaps dropping through the region in this colder air mass here over the next 24 to 36 hours, but most of those showers are going to be totally insignificant. Certainly wouldn't do anything more than set back field work maybe for an hour or two, and that would be the most. For the most part, we are looking at relatively dry conditions, and those will be accompanied by temperatures that are going to be well below average for a few days. We'll probably see a little patchy soft frost maybe across some of the northernmost parts of the region. There really isn't going to be a lot of clear skies, and the high-pressure center is not real well organized, but we'll probably get those temperatures in a 33 to 39-degree temperature range in the northern and easternmost parts of the Midwest over the next couple of mornings. That will probably be the exception rather than the rule. I think most areas will probably be upper 30s and lower 40s. But anyway, it's a cool, drier bias here for the next few days. We'll turn around and start warming things up as we go toward the weekend. A little secondary surge of cool air will come southward out of Canada and drift across the Great Lakes region and parts of the upper Mississippi River Basin during the weekend, but it won't get very far to the south, and there'll be a few showers along that frontal boundary, but the rest of the Midwest will see mostly dry and a little bit of a warming bias all the way into the first part of next week.
Any major concerns developing in other growing regions of the globe?
but we're still very closely watching changes across Europe and parts of the Western CIS or portions of Ukraine and Russia, if you'd rather hear it that way. It's still very dry across the lower Danube River basin, which includes southeastern corner of Europe. There is a storm system that is expected to evolve Friday going into the weekend that is likely to generate some shower and thunderstorm activity that will finally bring some relief to that region. It's been very dry there since the 1st of April, and the soil conditions are quite short on moisture. There is a definite amount of stress going on right now for some of those crops. In other areas, just to the east of that, across parts of Ukraine and southwest Russia, there is a chance for some showers next week, but they aren't going to be nearly as significant, and there's going to be a lot of 80-degree temperatures coming up near the Black Sea over the next several days. That's likely to worsen the stress situation in that part of the world.
We appreciate you being with us today.
Great. Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is the Senior Agricultural Meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and that is today's edition of the Closing Market Report. You can pick up Drew's weather along with the futures segment and the cash grain segments on our website if you'd like. The address is willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.